Most know, but I want to make sure all know that we have a real treat this morning in that a young couple has flown up here from where they're living in West Virginia at the moment, Colonel and Kelly Pratt. And we've asked Colonel to come up and to look at the position we have here in our evangelist position. We have two minister positions, if you want to title them that. One being the preacher, myself, the position I hold now, and the other being the evangelist, which is the job that Bill Williams had here. And we have plenty of work for that and a lot more. So this is the Colonel speaking to us this morning. He's bringing the lesson. He'll be here through Thursday when they fly out Thursday night. He'll bring the lesson Wednesday, etc. He'll bring the adult Bible class today. So this is our time to get to know this good man and his sweet wife, and for him to get to know us. Brother?
Preach the word.
Amen. So I was told I don't have to do anything with this mic, so I'm just going to start talking. I tell you what,
it was not an easy thing to prepare a lesson for today. Number one, I'm nervous. Okay? And on top of that, I wanted to talk about all the demands that Christ has for us, all his commands. And as I was studying, I realized there's so much. There is so much. I mean, there's not enough time in a single day to go over all the things that Christ is calling us to do and calling us to be. And so what I decided to do was I decided to talk about how he gives us opportunities and he's given us talents to fulfill those commands that he's given us and to fulfill the purpose that he has for all of us. And so I was thinking about this, and I was talking to Cy just yesterday about some things they used to do. We were watching the parade, and Kelly pointed out that there was, I guess they were a martial arts class or dojo or what have you, and they were in the parade. And Kelly mentioned that I should go out there and show them my stuff. But you have to understand, I haven't done any martial arts since I was in high school. I'm not in high school anymore. And so I can't do the things that I used to be able to do. And it's because I haven't used those skills. Thank you, Isaac. I haven't used those skills in years. In years. Now, when I was really good at it, I was able to earn 2 second place trophies in a tournament. But if I tried to enter a tournament at this point, not only would I embarrass myself, I would probably hurt myself or someone else in the process just because I'm out of practice. That was an opportunity that God gave me. It was a gift, a talent that he blessed me with. But I haven't used it. And so I no longer have that. I still remember a little bit, but I'll never be as good as I could have been if I really used that opportunity and that talent. And so as we talk about opportunities and talents, let's look at Luke chapter 19. And I appreciate the fact that this morning you all read an entire chapter for the scripture reading. I don't hardly see that in many of the churches that I go to. So I don't feel bad about reading through the entire parable of the minas found in Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 11. I have to tell you, I've been blessed by our brother Lauren this morning and his command of the scriptures. I was tempted to just ask him to go ahead and recite that for us, because I'm sure he has it committed to memory. That's awesome to me. Where is he? Is he still in here? I might. Well, let's read it. All right. The parable of the minas actually comes right after Jesus' interaction with Zacchaeus. So it's interesting. Here Zacchaeus is, this rich tax collector, who's saying, "Lord, you know, if I cheated anybody, I repay them, and I give half of what I have to the poor." And so he tells this parable right after his interaction with Zacchaeus. But he tells it as he's approaching Jerusalem, because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. He said, therefore, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave the 10 minas and said to them, engage in business until I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. When he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know what they had gained by doing business. The first came before him, saying, Lord, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you have been faithful in a very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, your mina has made 5 minas. And he said to him, and you are to be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, Lord, here's your mina, which I kept laid away in a handkerchief. For I was afraid of you, because you are a severe man. You take what you did not deposit, and you reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not sow, and taking and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank? And at my coming, I might have collected it with interest. And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to the one who has the 10 minas. And they said to him, Lord, he has 10 minas. I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. But as for these enemies of mine, who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me. So what we have here in this parable is a nobleman who's going to receive a kingdom. And he calls his servants to him. And he gives 10 of his servants one mina with the instructions, I want you to do business with this mina. I want you to do something with this. And there are others after he leaves who try to sabotage his reign. They send a delegation saying, we don't want this man to rule over us. And they do it out of hatred for him. Nevertheless, he receives the authority over the kingdom. And although we only have 3 of the servants mentioned by Jesus, I believe that Jesus only mentions 3 because that's all he needs to make his point. And we'll see that as we go through the details. So he gives each of them one mina. And when he returns, he calls them to account. And you'll notice that there's one servant who presents the master with 10 minas, the fruits of his effort. Just going to click the slide here. There's another servant who presents 4, 5 minas as a result of his efforts. And finally, the one mina servant. Now, I have to admit, my deeper understanding of these parables comes from a book by Dr. Michael Moss. He's one of my professors at OVU. It's called When God Reigns. He does an excellent job of really explaining the parables, and I recommend that you buy that book. But here's one of the things he suggests as a way to understand how much a mina was worth. He says, quoting the NIV Study Bible, that a mina was about 3 months' worth of wages. So if we say minimum wage is $6.55, there's 8 hours in a day, that's $52 a day. Multiply that by 90 days, that's almost $5,000. Round it off. 5 minas would be $23,000, and 10 minas would be $47,000.
That's a lot of money. I know that if I was wealthy enough to hand out that money, I'm not quite so sure that I would just hand it out and leave. But the nobleman in this parable knows enough about his servants that he is going to trust them with that. Now, of course, the nobleman, the king, is pleased with both servants who present him with the 5 and the 10 minas. And he rewards them and he gives them authority over 5 and 10 cities, respectively. And he says he's rewarding them because they have been faithful over a little. So the last servant comes with this sorry excuse about putting his mina in a handkerchief because he was afraid. He knew his master to be a harsh man who would collect what he did not deposit and reap what he did not sow. And he is judged by those very words according to the parable. Not only is he judged and rejected by those words, but what he has is taken from him and is given to the man who produced the 10 minas. And the warning is that
if you will not use the opportunity that God has given you, he will take that from you
and give it to someone who will use that opportunity. And as the parable clearly states, there's no point in rebelling against him, because there's only punishment for rebellion against the reign of the king. But there's some more things I want to consider, because the parable of the minas talks about our opportunities. But I want to look at the parable of the talents, because it's similar, but it makes a little different point. So let's shift our attention over to Matthew chapter 5. And again, I want to read through this parable because I want to refresh everybody's memory of the details. So bear with me. Matthew chapter 25, we'll start in verse 14.
If you're there, it reads, "For it will be, speaking of the kingdom, like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But the one who had received 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of the servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I've made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours.' But the master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, so take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" And so here again, it's a parable similar to the one of the minas, but there are some details that are slightly different.
First of all, we only have three slaves who are given talents. And one important detail to remember is that each of the slaves is giving a talent according to his ability. So the master knows these servants. He knows what they're able to handle. He knows what they can be responsible for. And he gives them exactly what they are able to handle. And so again,
I want to get an idea of how much a talent is worth, because it's far more than the worth of a mina. One talent equals 60 minas. So one talent, $282,000. Four talents, $1,128,000. 10 talents, almost $3 million. This is an incredible amount of money. An incredible amount of money.
And so it's interesting to me, again, when he calls the servants to account, the man who returns 10 and 4, he says to both of them, "Well done, good servant. You've been faithful over a little bit." I don't know about you, but that's not a little bit of money. That's a huge amount of money. I mean, just the profit that they made off of what they were given is a huge amount of money. But the sum total of what they have is incredible. And not only does he let them keep that, but he gives them more as a reward for their faithful service. However, again, we have the one slave who is just lazy. And he tries to cast that back onto the master, saying, "Listen, you're a hard man. I was afraid that, you know, I would mess up. So what I did, I just buried it. And, you know, here it is. Here. Here's your talent. Here's your money." And he says, you lazy, slothful servant. And he says, "You could have at least taken this money and put it in the bank." Now, that's something we think nowadays, anybody can open a bank account. And I promise you, there is no bank in the world who would refuse you if you brought $282,000 to them and said, "I want to open an account." And even with the slightest bit of interest, you would have gained some profit. Who knows how long the master was gone, but, you know, even in a year, you would come back with more than $282. But the lazy servant didn't even do that much. He didn't even put in the least amount of effort. And so, of course, what he has is taken from him. It's given to the one who put his talents to work. And the one who did nothing, the lazy servant, was cast out. He was completely rejected. Now, before I move on, it's important that we realize the servant who only produced the four talents, I don't want anybody to discount this guy, okay?
Because it's not that he was lazier than the servant who produced 10. Remember, he was given exactly according to his ability. The master knew that he could handle two talents, and he produced according to his ability. But again, the one talent servant, just lazy. Just lazy.
And so, as we look at these parables and the details, I was looking at this and I thought, you know, God is kind of like an equal opportunity employer. You know, he's not going to discriminate based on race or age or national origin or anything like that. Like in the parable of the minas, he gave 10 servants all the same opportunity to work to the best of their ability. And we have that exact same opportunity. And since we have the same opportunity to do something, we have to use it or we lose it. See, we've been given a gift according to our ability. Now, you know, it's funny. Sometimes we wonder, well, what is my purpose and what am I supposed to do? Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that you have been given everything you need to fulfill your purpose. Everything you need. And if ever God requires more of you, he will equip you with whatever you need to fulfill that purpose. But we have to remember that if we stop at any point, if we stop taking those opportunities and stop using that talent, it will be taken. And I'm going to use Lauren as a perfect example. I know that if at any point he stops his study and he stops preaching the word, he'll begin to lose it. The same way that I stopped doing martial arts and I began to lose the ability to do that. It's the exact same thing. God has given us all some kind of talent. And he's given us all opportunities to use that talent. And so the warning that we have from these parables is, let's not be the lazy servant. Even more so, let's not be that group of rebellious people who say, we don't want that man to rule over us. Rebellion and inactivity is not an option in the kingdom of God. Amen. It's just not an option. Amen. And so what do we do now? You know, at this point, we start to wonder, okay, well, what are my talents? What are my abilities? Do I even have a talent or an ability? Well, even if you don't know what that talent is, even if at this point you can't see those opportunities, I want to turn your attention to the scripture that Patrick read for us from Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, a gift of God, kind of like a talent. Now, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We have all, those of us who have died with Christ and raised with him in baptism, have all been given a gift. Not just the gift of grace, but also the gift of the Holy Spirit that he put inside of us. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about the gifts of the Spirit. And one of the things that's interesting is he says that there are a variety of gifts, but each one is given a gift according to the Spirit's will. Now, I'm not going to get into whether they're miraculous or not, but I want you to search the scriptures for yourself. You look at Corinthians chapter 12 and also in Romans where he talks about gifts. And you'll notice that there are some miraculous gifts, but there are some gifts that we still see today. So we all have a gift. If nothing else, even if we're not even sure about the Holy Spirit, if we're not sure about grace, we have been given the gospel, the good news. And those of us who have accepted that gospel and now live in submission to God, that's the gift. That's it. Do something with it. We have to do something with it. I'm telling you, this gift, we can't just put it in a handkerchief. We can't bury it in the ground and expect to get the same reward that those who use the gift get. It doesn't work that way. And we cannot use fear as an excuse. It's not acceptable. Amen. It is not acceptable. And so, as we look at all these things, let's remember most of all that the very least that we can do, the very least, if we don't understand how the Holy Spirit works, if we don't understand what our particular gift is, if we don't know what those opportunities are, no one should leave here this morning without understanding that our gift, if nothing else, is the gift of the gospel of Jesus Christ. His death, his burial, his resurrection. We can share that. We can share that. Now, he's given us all individual gifts so that we can share that with people that are in our sphere of influence. You can reach people that I don't even know, let alone have a relationship with. And the same goes for me. I'll be able to reach people that you don't know and you don't have a relationship with.
with the particular gifts that he's given us allows us to build those relationships and build a bridge across which we can carry the gospel of Jesus Christ and bring one more soul into obedience to God. And so, again, we got to use it or we lose it. If this morning you look at yourself, and this is something only you can do, it's between you and God. If you look at yourself and you recognize that you haven't been the 10-talent servant, praise God for another day to get your life right. If you look at your life and, God forbid, you're one of the rebellious people, praise God for another day to get your life right. No one should leave here without the purpose in their heart to become that servant who presented the 10 talents. I have to admit, sometimes in my life, I'm the one talent guy. I don't do it. And if I'm honest with myself, that's the truth. However, I search my heart and I know that I want to be that 10-talent servant. I want to be that one. I know that God's given me some gifts. He gave me the opportunity to come here and speak to all of you. If I had turned that down, look at the blessing I would have missed out on. The beautiful scenery, the plane trip, the food, meeting all of you. I mean, these are all blessings that I would have missed out if I passed up the opportunity. And I hope and pray that no matter what the future holds as far as me working with you all or somewhere else, please leave here knowing that you have a purpose, a divine purpose, Amen. That God purposed beforehand. Before he even said, let there be light, you had a purpose. Leave here knowing that. Leave here knowing that. And if there is anybody here who hasn't accepted the gospel, please, there is an amazing award. The reward he has in store for you is beyond words. There's descriptions in the Bible, but I'm convinced that even the descriptions of heaven that we have, they pale in comparison to the reality of what he has in store for you. Understand that if you have not accepted the gospel, he also has a purpose for you. And that purpose is not punishment. That is not why he created you. His purpose for you and for every person has always been to bring glory to his name. And these parables tell us that we've all been given the same opportunity and we've all been given gifts according to our ability. So as we stand and sing the song Invitation, if you need the prayers of the church or if you want to talk to someone more about accepting the gospel and giving your life to Christ, being buried in baptism, please come forward as we stand and sing the Invitation song.